Umar Khan, case 38. The buffalo passes through the window. Goso said, "It is like a water buffalo passing through a window. Its head, horns, and forelegs all pass through. Why can't its tail pass through too?" Mamon's comment: if you can resolve this one, discern it clearly, and give a turning word to it, then you can meet the four obligations above and give comfort to the three existences below. But if it is not yet clear, pay close attention to the tail, and you will resolve it at last. Mamon's verse: passing through, falling in a ditch, turning back, all is lost. This tiny little tail, what a wonderful thing it is. This is the last teisho of our session. Tomorrow we will have sosan, with everyone coming to doksan in order, in lieu of teisho, at about this time. Our session is very quickly coming to an end, but not yet ended. I am reminded of Soren Roshi's teisho on kanchiketsu. You know, he says kanchiketsu is enough. In fact, kan is enough. That's enough. Yes. Not only is one moment the full and complete presentation of the whole. Yes. Not only is one moment enough, it is that full presentation. Well, anyway, here we meet Goso again, the teacher who cited Seijo and her two beings as the basis for Ananto Koan, in case 35 of this Momonkan. This is another Nanto Koan. Nanto means difficult case, but that is not the real significance. The teacher, Hasegawa Seikan, defines koan as a matter to be made clear. It is not a riddle or a trick, but a succinct expression of the fact. When the expression is clarified, then the fact is also clear. When mu, the sound of a single hand, Yakujo's fox, Nansen kills the cat, and other Nanto koans are truly resolved, then you have fully digested some hearty Zen food. Goso asks, it is like a water buffalo passing through the window. Its head, horns, and four legs all pass through. Why can't its tail pass through too? In all of Asia, and until recently in Hawaii too, the water buffalo has been an important member of the farming family. Because it can draw the plow through the mud of a paddy, it has been invaluable to human life in countless generations. Its great power and placid disposition have made it an archetypal figure in Buddhism, almost as important as the elephant of Samantabhadra and the lion of Manjusri. A figure of the water buffalo reposes on the altar of San Unzendo in Kamakura. Always those sacred figures of the water buffalo show him lying down, show her lying down. Gosho uses the water buffalo as a metaphor. The head, horns, and legs are also metaphors. The tail is a metaphor. When you get at the significance of these expressions, you see into Gosho's mind. First of all, you may suppose that passing through means realizing essential nature. This may be true on one level, but it is a superficial level and does not account for the tail. Please don't suppose that the tail represents a residue of delusion. No, it is best to scrap such intellectual analysis. This koan is not a story of progression in the practice, like the ox herding pictures. You may fall back to a defensive position to ask if Zen is only a tissue of tropes, a fabric of metaphors. Of course it is. We must see into the nature of metaphor here. You know, there are many kinds of metaphor, similes, synecdoches, metonymies, metaphors. Many kind of tropes. They all present the fact. Pity like a newborn babe striding the blast. Shakespeare was a master of metaphor. In this case, a simile, but with all the power of metaphor. Metaphor is not symbol. The metaphor, rosy cheeks, originally, before the expression got worn out, was, she has roses in her cheeks. Quite literally. So, Zen is a fabric of metaphors. But presenting the fact itself. I have never been quite clear about what is meant by symbol. And I always felt it unfortunate that Suzanne Langer and her colleagues got named their their particular branch of philosophy, symbolic logic. Because when you look at what she says in her philosophy, presentational symbolism and discursive symbolism, we are not looking at objects that represent something else, but rather we're looking at the direct expressions themselves. Anyway, we must be grateful to Goso for his deep kindness in helping us to discern the tail when all other elements of the buffalo have disappeared. Now, passage, this buffalo passed to the window. Passage is movement, and that is the nature of our lives. In Haleakala Crater, you hike down Sliding Sands Trail, along the crater floor, out through Paliku, and down to Kaupo. Then somehow you find your way around the east end of the island to your home. Next day, you go to work or to school, and then at the end of the day, you return home. Constantly you come and go, go and come in your passage through the world. That buffalo is always passing through the window. When the concho rings, you go to Doksan. When Doksan is over, you return to your seat. Is there something that does not trot along? Goso asks, why doesn't it trot along? Why doesn't the tail pass through too? It is that very why that is the key point. When I was a little boy asking why all the time, my parents would despair and say, it's to make little boys ask questions. I was altogether dissatisfied with this answer. It didn't relate to my concerns at all. As a response to a child, it may not be appropriate, but as an adult, I can see how causal reason leads to dilemmas of chemical and physical science that may be resolved only to present deeper dilemmas, and so on. Goso's why is not in the dimension of causal reason. It does not relate to the quark. To make little boys ask questions, throws the whole matter into reverse. My pursuit of a question about, say, the evaporation of water, diverted to an awareness of a pesky child bothering busy parents. Very frustrating for a child, but for an adult, it is the direction one's inquiry should go. I want to say a little more about this matter of why and about questions generally. Stevens has a very interesting poem about why. I'll read the whole poem. It's not something that you can hear in all its nuances the first time, any more than any other Stevens poem is, but I'll comment afterwards. In the weed of summer comes this green sprout why. The sun aches and ails and then returns halloo upon the horizon amid adult infantilages. Its fire fails to pierce the vision that beholds it, fails to destroy the antique acceptances, except that the grandson sees it as it is. Peter, the voyant, who says, "Mother, what is that?" The object that rises with so much rhetoric, but not for him. His question is complete. It is the question of what he is capable. It is the extreme, the expert, etattu. Etattu. A-E-T-A-T. The age of two. He will never ride the red horse she describes. This question is complete because it contains his utmost statement. It is his own array, his own pageant and procession and display, as far as nothingness permits. Hear him. He does not say, "Mother, my mother, who are you?" the way the drowsy infant old men do. Your comment is almost to destroy, but you can understand. This green sprout why arouses all kinds of reluctant